Very good job, guys. I'm proud of you guys, as always. It's great being able to work with these teenagers, get them plugged into ministry. And of course, they serve all year round, many of them in ministry, right alongside adults. Youth Sunday is just the day that we get to all be here as a collective, you know, get the whole team going. So I'm proud of these guys. All right, well, just like the video clip would suggest to us, it's important to know why you're doing what it is you're doing. Like this guy in the video clip with the brown paper package at the airport that was dropped off all in a very shady way. We can sometimes do things and not even know why we're doing them. They might be bad. If we knew why we were doing them, we might find out we shouldn't be doing this kind of thing. Or maybe we find out, like this guy did, that it's something very good. These are Bibles going into Iran to be able to help people grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus. It could be a good thing, but if you don't know about it, then you're not going to be working too hard at it because you're not sure why you're doing what you're doing. Well, it's the same thing here at church. Why do we do the various things that we do here at church, here at Stony Creek Church, and just in church in general? Why is that? Why do we sing songs up here? Why do we do baptisms? There's a baptism coming up. Why do we do that? Why do we do communion when we have our communion Sundays? Why do we have potlucks and euchre tournaments? Why do these things? Scott kind of gave away why we did that. You stole my thunder, but that's all right. Why collect an offering besides to feed my son Xander? Why have coffee and pastries after the service? Why have two service formats? Why use video clips and little dramas? Why have youth Sundays? Why change the service from an hour and 15 minutes to 1 hour? Why do we do that? Why have drums and electric guitar? That's, if you're visiting for the first time, that's there every week. It's just the adults playing. It's a little quieter. Give us another chance next week if it was too loud for you this week. Why do we do that? Why do we have our power nights where we have an hour of praise and prayer together? Why do youth group? Why do college ministry? Why have a men's fellowship? Why have a women's fellowship? Why does Chris keep asking why? We get the point. Why do we do what we do at church? Well, today we're going to look at three very important reasons why we do what it is we do. And what I'd encourage you to do now is in the program you receive, there's an outline. Take that out because we're going to start taking some notes together. And we've got to race through these things. There's a lot to get through, but we can do it. This will just keep you awake. The first reason, and I would argue the most important reason, we do everything we do here at church is so that we can worship God holistically. And if you're taking notes, and you ought to be, you'll write that down. You can borrow a pen from a neighbor. It's okay that you didn't come prepared. Just ask the person two people down because the person next to you didn't bring their pen either. The first reason we do everything we do is to worship God holistically. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing we ought to be doing? The greatest commandment that God has ever given us. He said this. And please, follow along with me and then help me out when we get to the yellow letters, all right? Here we go. The person asked, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The primary reason we do what we do here at Stony Creek Church, when we come together to worship God together, is to glorify God, to worship Him with everything we are, and with everything we have. That is the number one reason we do what we do. In fact, everything we do when the leadership team is planning anything, from a Sunday service to a special event to a small group meeting, we test everything by this standard. Does it bring glory to God? That's the most important standard. Does it bring glory to God? It's like Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so, let's talk about some of the different ways that we ought to be worshiping God. How do we do it holistically? That is, all-encompassing. How do we worship God with everything we are and everything we have? Well, follow along there on the outline and write in these words to complete the question. How do I worship God with my heart? That's the first one. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is a pretty simple question. Do we prepare ourselves to come here Sunday morning ready to worship God? This is how we get into the right heart to worship God. Are we getting enough sleep Saturday night? Going to bed at an appropriate time to not drag when you get here on Sunday morning? Are you doing that? Or is your heart somewhere else? Your heart's a little bit more on watching Saturday Night Live than on worshiping God. Do we get up early enough in the morning, Sunday morning, so that we're not rushed, we're not stressed, we're not running late? Those of you that just walked in, no kidding, nobody just walked in. I just wanted to see how many heads turned when I said that. Do we get up early enough so that our heart can be in the right place? It isn't on, oh my gosh, I'm running so late, or oh my gosh, I broke so many laws driving here. No, we want our heart on God, and so we need to wake up early enough to do that. Are we shutting off our cell phones, making sure that we've gone to the bathroom, making sure we've had breakfast, so that your heart isn't on the text you just received from that cute boy you met over the weekend? Or a brother or something for you adults, because hopefully you didn't meet a cute boy over the weekend. You can meet a cute guy if you're a single lady, I suppose. All right, we'll continue. Your heart shouldn't be on that. It should be on God. And our heart shouldn't be on our need to pee or our need to eat, because we should have already done that. We prepare ourselves to worship God. The worship doesn't start when the music starts. The worship starts on Saturday night. Our Sunday morning worship starts on Saturday night because we begin to prepare our heart to be in the right place when we come in here, ready to go. Are we worshiping God with our heart? How about, Jesus didn't stop there. Are we worshiping God with our soul? That's your next blank. This is one of the big reasons why we begin the service with song. Because music really does affect and minister to our spirit. It really does. I mean, if I listen to country music, I get very depressed. My spirits are down. Poor guy lost his dog and his car and his wife left him and he lost his job. How could I possibly be joyous and in high spirits? Music has that effect. Most of you adults, when you listen to your teenagers' music, it makes you angry and frustrated. Music, without even knowing the words, it could be Christian, but it's no, you know. It gets you going. Your blood starts boiling. Music ministers and moves our spirit. And so that's why we begin with joyous songs of celebration and reflective songs of how good God is, what he's done for us. The wrath that we should have that we escape because we trust in Christ. And when we sing these songs, we're filled with joy and we should be moved. And so I encourage you to get into praise. That's why we like to stand up. That's why when it's a fast song, we like to clap our hands here at Stony, because we want to get into it. Are you worshiping God with your spirit, with your soul? Jesus didn't stop there. He said, worship God with your mind. Are we doing that? That's your next blank. How am I worshiping God with my mind? During the teaching time or the sermon time, are you taking notes? You should be convicted now. After that big spiel I said about borrowing a pen, you still didn't do it, and now it's a blank on the outline that you're not filling in. Are you taking notes? Are you engaging your mind in the sermon? We need to be doing that. Engage our mind in worship. Study the Word of God. That's why we teach the Bible here at Stony. We want our minds to be engaged in worship. When Randy's up here talking, or even when I'm up here talking, are you thinking already about how you're going to apply what you're learning? That's engaging your mind. How am I going to carry this out? But we don't even stop there. There's more to worshiping God. Are we worshiping him, here's the next two blanks, with our time and our talent? Are we worshiping him with these things? Do you serve in ministry? That's an act of worship. It may happen here on Sunday morning, like the praise team or the Adventureland or the ushers. It may happen during the week, like the cleaning crew or the youth staff that teach the teens or small group leaders. There's different ways to minister. But are you sacrificially worshiping God with your time and with your talent? And I say sacrificially because of this. We ought to be worshiping God with our time and talent every week. Some of our ministries have rotations here. and you only need to minister 1 week because that's the slot you fill, that should free you up not to just laze around the other 3 weeks. All right? That should free you up to serve somewhere else, to worship somewhere else with God. That's worshiping Him with your time. Worshiping Him with your talent is making sure you're doing something that God built you to do. He's built us differently to do different good things, to build up the body and to worship Him. We have all kinds of weird ministries here at Stony. We just had a euchre tournament in the name of Jesus. That's weird. It's weird, but He's built certain people to play euchre and fellowship with other guys that way. All right? And so they're doing it. Worship God with your time and with your talent. People like that won that tournament are worshiping Him with their talent by kicking everybody else's butt at cards. And then finally, of course, you've heard the expression with your time, talent, and treasures. Yes. Are we worshiping God with our treasures? Now He's going to talk about offering time, isn't He? Yes. Briefly, are we giving to the Lord out of an act of worship? Almost every week when we pray over the offering, we remind ourselves in prayer that it's not in any way to pay God back. It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship that we bring Him our tithes and offerings. But if you think that that's you know, me being too harsh trying to get your money, wait, there's more. Because we don't just give 10% or a generous portion of our income to the Lord. He wants everything, 100%. And you're thinking, I'm leaving. I'm not writing a check for 100% of everything I own today. No, that's not where I'm going. He wants your house to be used for Him. He lets you stay in His house. He lets you live there and sleep there, but it's His house. If you've trusted in Christ, if you've put Him up as Lord, it isn't yours. It's His. And so He might want you to host a small group study. That's an act of worship to open up your home. You might not even teach it. You may just host it. The Hollinger family hosts our small group study. That's an act of worship that they perform for the Lord by doing that. He may want you to use His car that He's lent to you to drive somebody who has their car in the shop for the week to drive them to work or to school. By the way, it's nice to think of your car as the Lord's car, because if it gets a little dent in it, you can say, I don't know why you wanted a dent in your car, God, but you got a nice one. I got that from Don Weaver, who probably stole it from somebody else. Are we worshiping God with our treasure? That's the first and foremost reason why we do everything here. When we start up a new ministry, we say, is it bringing glory to God? Is it us worshiping Him? But there's another reason. The second reason on your outline is to engage your senses in learning. Engage your senses in learning. This is an important reason why we do the things we do. We want to engage all of our senses. All of our senses in learning. I'm reminded, when it comes to this point, of a lot of things that were going on in Moses' day. Look at this verse. This is when God has just given them the ceremony of the Passover meal. He's told them all of these things here, and He says, you're going to have a meal to remember what I'm doing. This is right after the first Passover is going to happen. And He says this, when you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? When they ask you that, then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. One of the reasons God instituted this Passover meal was for it to be not just a memorial of what happened, but for it to be a teaching opportunity. He says, when you start doing this and your kids say, Mom, Dad, why are we doing this? Why do we do this whole thing where we get the lamb and then we fall in love with the lamb and then we kill the lamb and then we cook the lamb and then we eat the lamb? What's up with that? And they'll say, well, this is when we killed the lamb and put the blood on the post so that death would pass us by. Notice they say us. They incorporate themselves into the story. Even hundreds of years later, they would continue to say, when the Lord brought us out, when He spared us. It was a teaching tool. In fact, many of the things that were happening in Moses' day, many of the rituals, the ceremonies, the acts of worship, even the architecture of the tabernacle, which was the place of worship, was designed to teach people who God was, what He has done, and how we interact with Him. And that's the way church is today. Everything we do, even the way that the space of church is laid out, ought to teach us something about who God is, what he has done, and how we worship him. And so the question is, how do I engage? And we're going to talk about the different senses. First, my hearing. How do we engage our hearing in learning about God here on Sunday, here together as a church? Well, I'm reminded of the importance of speaking the Word of God out loud, the importance of reading it publicly with God's people. And so I want you to just shout out these yellow words with me. I'm going to count to three since we're kicking off with the yellow words, okay? One, two, three. Hear, O Israel! I think they did hear you over there. Good job. And be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel! The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This was the public reading of the Word of God. And Moses said, hear it. Hear it today. Hear it now. And we still do it here at Stony. We want to read the Word of God aloud. We want it to be taught. We want it to be preached. We want it to be read at the small groups, in the youth groups, in the college groups, in the men's group, in the women's group. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God is one way to engage our senses in learning about Him. And one of the most important, I'm reminded of what Paul said in Romans 10. He said, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing. That's the title of those CDs we handed out. The New Testament, that's that ministry. Faith comes by hearing. It's so important. But there are other senses, aren't there? We don't stop there at Stony Creek Church. There's more going on. That's why we pay the lighting bill. Because you could hear it in the dark. But we don't want you to just hear it. How am I engaging? We're going to write all four of these at the same time. Our sight, our touch, our taste, and our smell. How are we engaging these senses in hearing? I told you about the tabernacle and how it was designed, even the layout was designed to engage the senses and teach about God. Here behind me is a picture or a diagram of where the tabernacle went. They also called it the tent of meeting. And so it was to be arranged in the very middle of the camp back then in Moses' day. They were camping out in the wilderness. They were all surrounded, the different tribes of Israel. And right in the middle of it all, where everybody could see from their tribe, they didn't need to look past Benjamin's tribe. Those were big dudes. They didn't need to look past Benjamin's tribe to get to the tent. They could see it from their own space. And it was in the center of everything, and that taught everybody visually that God should be at the center of our daily life. God should be at the center of our community. That's why everybody lives equidistant away from Stony Creek Church today. No, that's not true. Don't take the analogies that I'm going to give you too far. Let's look a little bit closer at the tabernacle. I want to show you this, how it really engaged the senses back then. That shaded area there, that's like the outer courtyard area. And so you'd walk into the outer courtyard, and the first thing you would see with your eyes is this bronze altar. And the bronze altar would remind you that our sin separates us from God, and some type of atonement needs to be made. It would be a visual reminder as soon as you come in to this tent of meeting, into the outer courtyard. And when you would bring in an animal, any type of offering, a burnt offering, whether it was a grain offering or an animal or something like this, you would be engaging your sense of touch, and you would be turning it over to the priest, and he would perform a sacrifice on there, and you'd smell this burnt offering that would engage your sense of smell. Maybe after the animal was sacrificed, you may share in a portion of eating it, and it would engage the taste. And it would remind you through all the senses of the atonement that God requires because our sin separates us from Him. Then you get up to this wash basin. The wash basin is where the priests would wash their hands, and they had to be ceremonially clean before they could enter into the actual tent. And that reminded us that we need to wash up to be able to walk into God's presence. It would remind them physically as they touch the water. It would remind everybody visually as they watch this ceremony. You'd get in there, and there was all kinds of articles in the tent. You would first have the table of presents. They would bake 12 loaves, one for each of the tribes, and they would put them out on this table of presents. The sweet smell of the nice, freshly baked bread would fill up the tabernacle. It would seep out into the outer courts, and everybody coming by would smell it, and it would be sweet. And it was to remind people by the sense of smell that we have fellowship with God, because food is all about fellowship in that community. It's about fellowship in our community, too. That's why we like to have pastries after the service or potlucks before our power nights. You know, we like to get fed a lot. I couldn't think of another adjective for that. We just like to eat. Americans like to eat. But this would remind us of the sweet fellowship that we can have with God once we've cleaned up, once the atonement's been made. And the fellowship we have with one another, the 12 loaves represented the 12 tribes. And it engaged the sense of smell. Another thing that engaged the sense of smell was the incense altar. They would burn incense in there, and it reminds us, again, the prayers of the saints are referred to incense, filling God's nostrils, and that he loves that sweet smell. And there was also a lamp in the tent, in the house of God. And in that tent, this lamp would light up the tent, and also the light could be seen from any of the tribes, because in this dark desert night, not a lot of cities around and electricity back then, this lamp that's lit and shining out through the tent could be seen all over the place. And it would remind people that God's awake and he's there for you. He's in your presence right now. That would remind them visually. It could also heat up the place if it got a little cold in the desert night. And that would even by sense of touch tell you God is with you and he's near. And so this is how he would engage all the senses. And so we need to think about how we engage all the senses. One of the ways we do that here at Stony Creek Church and at every Christian church is through baptisms and through communion celebration. Communion reminds us of what Jesus did on the cross, that even though we were separated from God by our sin, and that penalty of sin is that eternal separation, not just here on earth, but in the afterlife in hell. Communion reminds us that Jesus paid that price, that his body was broken, that his blood was poured out to pay that price so that we can be restored in our relationship with God if we trust in him. And we learn that not just by reading the scripture about it, which we do all the time, and by seeing it up on our projector screen, engaging our sense of sight, but we also touch the cracker and hold the juice. We also smell the juice and the cracker. The cracker doesn't really smell a whole lot, but in theory. We taste it. Every sense is engaged to remember what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross. Same thing with baptism. We remember that when we trust in Christ, we die to our sin nature. We're buried, and then we're raised to new life in Christ, never to die again. We remember that. We watch it happen. The person who's going through that, every believer has felt it, and so our senses have been engaged. Another way to engage all of our senses is not just sitting there and listening to the sermon when it's going on, but taking out that paper and writing in the notes. If you didn't feel convicted earlier when I told you you're not worshiping God, well, now you don't even care about learning about him. So you should feel double convicted. And now everybody should be taking notes. Ushers are going to come around with pens. I'm just kidding. Start next week. Make a commitment. And when we take notes, we're reminding ourselves visually of what Randy's talking about, what I'm talking about, whoever's sharing. And you're physically taking part in the learning process. And that's so important. It helps us remember. So why do we do these things we do at Stony Creek Church? To engage all of our senses in learning about who God is, what he has done for us, and what our relationship is between us and him. We need to get that phone off. I love you. I love you whoever you are, wherever you are. Let's turn it down. All right. Number three, the final thing we're going to look at together today. Why do we do the things we do here at Stony Creek Church? That is to reach out intentionally. To reach out intentionally. We want to do it on purpose. Paul says it this way. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free of God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become, they're not, list. Oh, there it is. Let's read this one together. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Paul says, I will do whatever it takes. Now, he's not going to compromise. He says, you know, I might relate to those that are not under the law, but I'm not going to start disobeying Christ's law. Okay, so there's, yeah, obviously there's context there. But I'm going to do whatever it takes, whatever is permissible, to be able to reach people for Christ, for the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, I will become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. Here at Stony Creek Church, we design everything with the importance of reaching lost people in mind. That's very important to us here. It's very important that when somebody attends our service, even if they didn't grow up in church, maybe this is their first time they've been in church, or one of very few times, they would understand what's going on, that they would feel invited and welcome to be here and to learn about what Jesus has done for them. We do this with that in mind. And so we have to ask the question, if the church as a whole is doing this, how am I personally doing this? How are you personally reaching out intentionally? How are you doing it, and these are some blanks, at church, at work, in school, with your family, with your friends, and even with strangers? How are you reaching out in these areas? If you don't go to school or you don't work, you can cross one of them out. It gives you less to accomplish, but I expect you to work harder in each of the other areas. All right? What will you do? What will I do to share the gospel outside these walls? And how will we invite people to come in to this service or to go to our small group or to go to a special event? I thank Scott for coming up here and sharing that announcement, because when we put on a special event like a euchre tournament, that's an opportunity for you not to just think, I wonder if I'm going to attend or not. You know, that shouldn't be the only thing we're thinking about. I wonder if I'm going to attend or not. All right, now I didn't attend, just so you know, and I missed it sorely. But if I had attended, what's the next thing I should think? Who am I going to bring? Who am I going to bring to this euchre tournament? Who am I going to bring to the ladies' fall retreat, to the youth costume party that we're going to be having in October? There's some pagan ritual that goes on around then. I've never heard of it, but we just have a costume party randomly at October 28th. Has nothing to do with anything, as far as I know. But who am I going to invite? Because we don't put these on just for the sake of putting them on. This isn't just a social club. We do have fellowship, and that's an important part of church. But we do everything with the intention of reaching out to people. And so not only am I going to attend whatever's going on, but who am I going to invite to come with me this Sunday? Who am I going to invite to come with me to small group? Who am I going to invite to come with me to whatever event it is that's coming up? Every opportunity that comes here at Stony is a chance for you to reach out on purpose. And this leads us to our main idea today. This is going to sum up everything that we've looked at and we've raced through together. And it's this. Very simple. Do church on purpose. That's the whole point today. Why do we do the things we do at Stony? We do it on purpose. To bring glory to God. To engage in the learning, discipleship process, all of our senses. And to intentionally reach out to lost people. We do it on purpose. Are you doing church on purpose? Are you coming prepared to worship? Doing what it takes to be able to have your heart, mind, and soul focused on God when that music starts or when that Bible study starts? Are you doing that? Are you engaging your senses? Maybe you've trusted in Christ, but you've never been baptized. That's not just some strange ritual. That's an important step in your Christian walk an important step in the discipleship process. Get baptized. We've got one coming up. Engage in the discipleship and the learning process. Reach out to people. Do church on purpose. Paul said this to the Colossians. He said, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." He's talking about church done on purpose, ministry done on purpose. This verse that I just read is one of the, it's called a one another command. There's a lot of these in Scripture. In fact, our college ministry, one of our first studies was on the one another passages in the New Testament. All these commands where the writer is commanding the church to love one another, bear with one another, teach one another, admonish one another, sing to one another. All of these, there's a few dozen of these. I think there's over 40 is what we counted. We just went through them together. And what we realized is that you can't do Christianity by yourself, not successfully. I mean, a person can technically be a Christian and not go to church, that's true, because that's about your relationship with Jesus, but you can't live a successful Christian life without being plugged in together with the people of God. There's too many commandments you'd be breaking in the New Testament. Too many commands you'd be breaking right off the get-go because you couldn't do it with one another in the church setting. That's why it's so important that we worship God together. But the other thing that's going on here is that Paul is reminding them to do it on purpose. Whatever you're doing, everything you do, and he's talking about in their meetings, whatever you're doing, word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Do it all for God. Do it on purpose. And so the last fill in the blank, I am not going to tell you what to write in there. I'm going to leave it open for you, and I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider what you would write this week. How will I do church more intentionally next week? What could you shape up? What could you shape up to be doing church on purpose better next week? It could be in one of these areas. Maybe you could think of a couple of things. That's fine. That's what commas were invented for. You can write multiple things on that. All right? God made commas so that you could make more resolutions. You're welcome from him. All right. Well, we're going to have the band come up, and they're going to do a song, and we're going to have the ushers come forward for this morning's offering. Or it's not the full band. We got some special music for you. And while they're preparing for that, I just wanted to make a special call. If you're sitting here and there's somebody here today, you're sitting here and you'd say, you talked a lot about why you do church, but I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I don't even know if I'm in this family of God, the one another people you were talking about. I don't know that for sure. But maybe you would like to know today. Maybe you would like to know today. Well, I want to tell you how you can know that. Romans 10 teaches us, Paul says, that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose from the dead, then you will be saved. You will cross over from death to life. That's what Scripture teaches us. What does that mean? That means that if you recognize that you are separated from God by your sin, that you're a sinner. We can all agree with that. I am. Believe me, I've come to that realization, and that still hasn't stopped me from time to time. You recognize that, but you say, I realize that I'm separated from you, God, but I don't want to be. I believe your son Jesus died on the cross. This is one way we learn visually, by having a cross there. He died on the cross to pay for that sin. I want to take his payment so I don't have to pay for my sin. From now on, you're the boss, Jesus. If you believe he's Lord, you're the boss now. Then you'll be saved. I want to invite you to do that. Let's have a moment of prayer. If you're a believer, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, but you're thinking of an area where you could do better to do church on purpose, I want you to give that over to the Lord now. For the person here who's never trusted in Christ before, I want to give you the opportunity to do that now. You don't need me to guide you through it. Just trust in Christ. Say, I believe you died on the cross for me. I want to accept that payment and be saved. Just do business with God now. Let's have a moment of silence.